don't read the Bible or care to believe in an intelligent creator, you still must agree that the Bible doesn't go through the cyclic changes of dietary fads that we circle through these days. It does not vilify whole food groups, but embraces them all as gifts. Man is often in error. Things that are known to be true for decades are found to be false with one new study hitting the media waves. There has to be something more grounding we can lean on than dogmas, theories, and studies. What's new in the befuddling world of diets? If you haven't already heard about some of these latest diet theories we're going to mention here, we doubt it will be long before you do. Sensationalist food judging sites are all the rage. The new trendy food words on the internet are beware and avoid. Surf the web and you'll be swamped with top tens for everything that has recently been found to be bad. Which food's turn is it this week to be nasty and dangerous? Have you heard of PUFAs? These are the natural polyunsaturated fatty acids that are abundant in superfoods like eggs and salmon. PUFAs are not the result of pollution or any man-made toxic sludge. God created salmon to contain liberal amounts of these fatty acids. We are not kidding when we say there are some new diet theories gaining much popularity, teaching that they are bad for us. Extraordinarily healthy foods like salmon are being labeled as harmful and dieters are being warned to avoid them. Did we mention things are getting crazy? Lectins and phytates are two more new bad kids on the block. They occur naturally in many foods, but have tainted the good name of grains, beans, and nuts to the point that it will be a miracle if their reputation ever recovers. The stone throwing does not stop there. Fermented or aged foods such as cheeses, vinegars, and cultured milks, kefir, for example, have historically been the cornerstone foods of civilizations, but are recently disdained for the fact that they contain free glutamic acid. MSG is the synthesized form of this acid, but many believe the free form is just as harmful, even though it is found naturally in many whole foods, such as ripe tomatoes. Funny that human breast milk has some of the highest levels of free glutamic acid of all foods. Would God really create a milk to nourish babies full of the harms of MSG? Our beloved bone stock, used for centuries, and gelatinous supplements are scorned by some because they will make foods taste too good and will overeat. What? Yep. Coconut oil made from dried coconut called copra is another new, nasty no-no. Oh, and we'd better not leave out the mycotoxins in coffee. They're apparently damaging to humans, except for a certain brand that costs almost as much as your phone bill each month to obtain. Aflatoxins on peanuts. The list of baddies goes on and on. Notice something? We are not talking about foods laden with synthetic chemical toxins here. This is the stuff that is grown in the soil, caught in the ocean, or raised on a farm and has nourished people for millennia. If you buy in to all the new evils of foods, it would not be possible to sit down and enjoy a healthy whole foods meal without worrying about diseases forming after every swallowed morsel. A few phytates in a handful of almonds that you didn't soak for 12 hours, a few lectins in a Mediterranean tomato and eggplant salad, a teensy bit of aflatoxin in a spread of peanut butter, some PUFAs in a delicious wild-caught piece of salmon. Our amazing bodies are well-equipped to deal with these naturally formed properties that are on or in real food. Unless you have true sensitivities or allergies to these foods, it doesn't make sense to stress about them. We are not meant to live in a sterile bubble, our food in little morsels of perfection with every particle censored. We were made to live in a world of bacteria and funguses. Just put your fingernails under a microscope and let's get real. Yes, we're a bit heated up on this subject, but somebody needs to stand up against the joy robbers. In fact, it is our belief that this obsessive worry and food perfectionism may threaten to weaken the human race. Not just because of the worry, which might be a huge factor, but because consuming a little bit of these so-called nasties like PUFAs in wild salmon is actually meant to happen. It's only common sense that nasties are in foods because we are meant to ingest them, that they are somehow part of the perfect symbiotic symphony of balance that makes up a truly divine masterpiece diet. Remember, a little bit of bacteria strengthens the immune system, and a bit of dirt to play in makes for a healthier child. Science has finally realized using antibacterial soap too often is actually harmful for us. Last decade, everybody was carrying hand sanitizer around until studies showed over-sanitizing yourself in this manner harms your immune system. We need a little of everything natural to balance out the whole picture, certain germs included. Sure, there are things to sensibly avoid, but they are a simple list of easy villains to recognize, aside from allergens and religious beliefs. It's best to avoid refined sugar, refined grains, GMOs when possible, BPA canned goods when possible, fake chemicalized cheese, soda, drugs, cigarettes, too much alcohol, most preservatives and chemicals, yak mucus, paint thinners, dinosaur urine. Okay, now we're being silly, but common sense tells us what to avoid. You don't need a list from us. You might have a couple more, or fewer, items on your own list, but none of us need food scare sensationalists warning us against God-given foods like beans, grains, nuts, meats, dairy, butter, eggs, coffee, tea, or cooked foods. Some of us thrive on these foods. Some of us find we have to pull back on certain types. We're all different. But this doesn't mean they must be out for everyone and slapped with a bad label. Enough is enough. That dratted meat again. Did you know that poor old meat is on the chopping block again, meaning chop it right out of your diet? In the 1980s and 90s, meat was considered by many to be a baddie because of its saturated fat. Science vindicated meat when it became known that hydrogenated vegetable fats messed with by man's fancy tweaks were the real problem when it came to heart disease. Just when meat was enjoying a brief reprieve, its name had to get sullied once again, and this time not just red meat but all of it. Fish, venison, turkey, and chicken. They are all in the naughty seat again. What is so bad about these animal foods now, you ask? It is the amino acid methionine that meat and other animal products contains. Yep, a naturally occurring, innocent little amino acid that is essential to the body and actually helps to keep us full of vigor is recently considered to be a vicious exterminator programmed to snuff out the human race. Methionine troubles. All this kerfuffle about methionine is due to some studies done on mice. A 2005 study published in Aging Cell backed up what other studies had reflected. Mice with the lowest levels of methionine lived the longest. Certain amino acids, including methionine, help to raise IGF-1 levels. IGF-1 stands for insulin-like growth factor, and it measures growth hormone in the body. Growth hormone itself is associated with youthfulness, supple skin, more energy, better muscle tone, and more. But the mice in these research studies that had lower levels of IGF-1 and subsequently lower levels of methionine lived longer than the ones with higher IGF-1. Time for a new diet theory. Suppress methionine in the body and ban all meat. The real story. Not so fast. First things first. Feeding a bunch of box-bound mice some kibble with mega doses of methionine that may have been derived synthetically is very different from a normal, real-world lifestyle. Without all the other antioxidants and counterbalancing nutrients that come with a balanced whole foods diet, this situation is not a fair assessment of the way methionine or IGF-1s work. While it is true that mice deprived of IGF-1 lived longer, it is also true that they quickly lost their vigor and health. In the studies, the mice became more feeble and crippled and showed senility. Abundant IGF-1 sustains youth, and it impedes atrophy and aging by enhancing neuronal and muscle growth and repair. The theory behind suppressing methionine is that by decreasing IGF-1 levels, you increase the voice of stress resistance genes and therefore increase your lifespan. In simple terms, your body recognizes that it is extremely stressed with low levels of IGF-1 and awakens your stress resistance genes to start screaming, "No, I want to live! I am going to fight this stressful lack of IGF-1! This restriction does work to lengthen life in rodents, but not because methionine or IGF-1 are scoundrels. It works because they are greatly needed for a flourishing body, and their lack in your body initiates a defensive battle for survival. Would you believe exercise causes cancer? Levels of IGF-1 are highest in the young and agile, and we age in correlation to its diminishing levels. Exercise induces IGF-1 release. Does this mean we should also avoid all exercise in order to live longer? Of course not. We were made to move. We don't have to bust a gut to be fit, but we sure shouldn't shun exercise altogether. Don't call us crazy. People are actually teaching this doctrine. Avoiding most forms of exercise, except only the concentric contractions of some lifting moves, is part of a new protocol preached from those who shy away from IGF-1. Yes, folks, it's getting this crazy. When just the simple act of eating and moving gets this deeply discombobulated, someone needs to shout, "Stop!" Another theory close to this one goes like this. The wonderful fulfillment of being nourished with sufficient food and calories releases IGF-1. Starving decreases it. So, if we can starve ourselves more or miserably reduce the size of our plate, we can release those stress resistance genes and live longer. Yep, the fountain of youth is starvation, people. We might live a painful, gloomy existence plagued with early aging on all levels, but hey, we might add another 5 years to our life. This thinking has more followers than you can imagine, and is the foundation behind intermittent fasting and severe calorie restriction and other similar plans. Be a balancer, not a hater. The common sense key to all of this is once again balance. Let's include the other balancing nutrients, hormones, or mechanisms that work synergistically alongside methionine to bring healthy wholeness. If methionine and IGF-1 cause the sun to rise, then let's find a harmonizing counterbalance that makes it set. There are hormones that help sustain a pregnancy and others that stimulate birth. Insulin causes our fat cells to store, and glucagon causes our fat cells to release. This is the reason we don't eat a bunch of carbs alone. If we did, insulin would go into a fat-storing rampage. So, do we throw our hands up and shove insulin into the baddie sack? No, it is a crucial hormone for our survival. By adding protein to our meals, glucagon is released and fat has a harder time sticking to our thighs. In a similar, sane manner, let's get methionine under control without ditching foods containing it altogether. Glycine, the methionine antidote. The wisdom balance speaks shows that the answer for a long, healthy life lies not in the reduction of essential nutrients, but in the inclusion of their seesaw nutrients. The amino acid glycine is the perfect antidote for methionine and high IGF-1. A more recent 2011 study published in the FASEB journal, published by the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology, showed that when rats are supplemented with glycine, they experienced the same life extensions as those with methionine-restricted diets. Makes sense, since glycine is the vehicle for clearance of excess methionine in the body. As a trim healthy mama, you'll get your protein from a balance of both glycine-rich protein sources and methionine-rich protein sources. That means you can enjoy steak, chicken breasts, and cottage cheese, which are rich in methionine, but it is also important to eat meat cooked with the bones and to include gelatin-rich foods so you get enough glycine. This is not hard to achieve, not something you have to make a spreadsheet for and obsess over. Who doesn't like chicken wings or chocolate pudding made with gelatin? You've got some lovely glycine right there. These new diet approaches that are terrified of methionine might be extreme, but they are doing one thing right. promoting a harder look at the way we all get our protein. In the olden days, or even just across the seas in less industrialized nations, diets were and are naturally rich in this important amino acid. People didn't think of the bones and skins of animals, where glycine is abundant, as gross. They didn't meticulously remove these nasties before cooking. They threw them all in the pot or frying pan. Soups were simmered with meat that was still on the bone. Fish head soup and chicken feet stock have nourished whole civilizations. Sounds nasty to most of us, but that is only because we are not used to it. Today, most meats sold in grocery stores are packaged with this new meticulous pickiness in mind. Sadly, nearly everything seems to be boneless or skinless these days. As we mentioned in Chapter 2, The Basics, when we described the crucial role of protein on plan, you can still heartily enjoy skinless, boneless chicken breasts and canned tuna, but don't forget your meat on the bone and your homemade gelatin-rich stock or collagen or gelatin supplements. Oh, what a beautiful balance. Easy ways to restore glycine. If your budget is too tight for the glycine-rich supplements we recommend and you don't have excess time to make a purist bone stock from scratch, you can still easily get glycine in your diet. You don't have to resort to fish heads and chicken feet, although you're welcome to. Many of our purist mamas go gaga over that sort of thing. Check out our recipe for drive-thru Sue bone stock in our companion cookbook. Make super salmon patties using canned salmon with skin and bones included. Don't let your brain say yuck before trying these patties found on our website or in the cookbook. They are a family favorite around here. Process the salmon in a food processor if you are icked out mashing it with a fork. Enjoy salmon mousse found in the companion cookbook for a snack with cucumber slices. Buy bags of quartered chicken legs and enjoy crispy lickin' chicken, oven-baked or roasted meats chapter in the Trim Healthy Mama cookbook. Strapped for time? Pick up some rotisserie chickens and enjoy some skin on your drumstick. Notice that jelly that forms around the rotisserie chickens when they cool? That is wonderful gelatin in all its healthful glory, chock full of glycine. It was released because the chickens were cooked with all their bones and skin, enriching the meat with glycine. Extra helpers for balancing methionine. One of methionine's jobs in your body is methylation. This function is extremely important for cellular communication and the governing of gene expression in your body. It maintains and repairs existing tissue and supports the building up of new healthy tissue. When methionine fails in this task of methylation, it produces instead homocysteine, which is a burdensome byproduct that can contribute to cardiovascular disease, inflammation, and the rise of cancers. Folate, found in foods like lentils, legumes, okra, dark leafy greens, broccoli, asparagus, avocados, oranges, egg yolks, and liver, assists methionine in performing this important task. Vitamin B12, found only in animal products, and of lesser importance B6, also found in muscle meats, as well as niacin in foods like sweet potatoes and riboflavin in almonds and Parmesan cheese, also helps methylation succeed. Choline, provided in egg yolks, and betaine, made in your body from choline or provided through foods like spinach, help as well. All of those foods are abundant in your THM diet, so no worries. But do branch out and include some of these if you've been stuck in a food rut. Lowering animal protein is not the answer. Methionine avoiders who cut out meat altogether because they haven't yet relaxed into the natural healthy balance of including seesaw amino acids can create more problems for themselves. Many vegetarian foods still contain methionine, though not as much as meat does. Vegetarian sources of protein do not provide vitamin B12, which is essential for methylation. This broken methylation pathway creates greater homocysteine problems and attenuates the dark side of methionine. Animal protein foods rich in methionine and vitamin B12 are healthy choices for complete methylation. A better way to turn on longevity genes. Rather than resorting to severe calorie restriction, exercise restriction, and meat restriction to increase longevity, Try hormesis. Hormesis is the process by which a very small dose of something that the body views as slightly harmful triggers the longevity mechanism of stress resistance genes. Catechins and polyphenols are labeled potential antioxidants, but they are actually slightly toxic to our cells, so they activate this hermetic effect. They increase the voice of antioxidant genes, and in that way they act as antioxidants. Mamas, let's dig into catechin and polyphenol-rich foods like green tea, found in our recipes like our earth milk sip, dark chocolate, turmeric, hooray for the singing canary recipe, blueberries and other deeply pigmented berries, and red wine. Maybe we shouldn't dig too excessively into wine, or it won't be in the good girl category. Sprinkle the herb rosemary on your grilled and baked meats. Consider using essential oils, especially orange, lemon, and grapefruit, which are rich in these substances that create hormesis in the body. Vanilla also has a hermetic effect, which is just another reason to celebrate healthy desserts on plan. Move over, methionine. It's tryptophan's turn. Tryptophan is kin to methionine in that it belongs to the family of 9 essential amino acids that our body cannot manufacture and needs to get in adequate supply from our diet. We are talking about the form found in whole foods here, not the supplement. Tryptophan-rich foods are on the hot seat because tryptophan is a precursor to serotonin production, and lately serotonin is getting a very bad rap. Serotonin is a brain biochemical that promotes restful sleep, happy emotions, and satiety. The lack of it leads to depression, anxiety, insomnia, sugar cravings, and the impulse to eat yet another brownie. But, of course, it has its dark side. Apparently, serotonin can be blamed for a myriad of ailments, including hypothyroidism, inflammation, cancer, aging, and the overall demise of your health. People who follow this theory say, "Down with serotonin and down with estrogen, too." When estrogen levels rise, then serotonin levels follow suit. The problem with demonizing estrogen is, once again, imbalance. While excessive estrogen, just like excessive anything, is unhealthy, insufficient estrogen is equally detrimental. Progesterone is not healthier than estrogen, just as glycine is not healthier than methionine or tryptophan. Dopamine is not a better brain neurotransmitter than serotonin. It is just the imbalance of one without the counterbalance of the other that causes issues. Hooray for glycine again. Once again, it is glycine to the rescue when it comes to balancing excessive levels of tryptophan, serotonin, and estrogen. As with any hormone or neurotransmitter in the body, when these three are too high in the body, they can do some damage. It is true that excessive levels of these can stimulate more cortisol, overexcite cells, and suppress the thyroid. But when balanced by glycine, their good points can shine rather than allowing their dark sides to take over. Gelatin-rich foods, which contain glycine, have many anti-stress actions. Glycine calms cells and inhibits tumor necrosis factor and prostaglandins, two things you don't want excited in your body. Glycine helps the liver detoxify your body of harmful estrogens, which are the ones that tend to dominate. Tryptophan science clears the air. Along with muscle meats and certain dairy products, like aged or cultured cheeses, there's a long list of other foods that contain tryptophan. Bananas, chocolate, a host of veggies, grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds are all rich in this amino acid. A diet becomes extremely limited if you try to limit tryptophan. But that doesn't deter some new diets. There are a few foods low in tryptophan, so dieters are encouraged to consume them over and over again and basically ditch the rest of God's provision to us. They limit meat, yet encourage high amounts of milk as their core protein choice. Apparently, they have their reasons why the tryptophan in this form of dairy is okay. The science of how tryptophan is absorbed makes their worry over high-protein, tryptophan-rich foods like meat unnecessary. If blood sugar levels are kept stable, there will not be an excessive tryptophan rise. The only efficient way to absorb tryptophan into the brain and induce a drastic rise in serotonin is through high carbs or other strong insulin pathways. This means a high-protein meal centered around animal protein, without a bunch of carbs, is not effective alone in dramatically changing serotonin levels in the brain. Your Trim Healthy Mama meals, always safely anchored around ample protein, do not promote excessive serotonin rises. But we absolutely need some of this good serotonin stuff, so e-meals, with their gentle carbohydrates always balanced with protein, that hopefully frequently includes glycine, help sustain happy levels of serotonin in the brain. You gotta love serotonin. Serotonin is an antidote to premenstrual syndrome, PMS. As estrogen drops before and during your period, it is common for many during PMS to experience a drop in serotonin, which is the trigger behind all those high-carb cravings. When estrogen levels rise once again after your period, serotonin naturally rises along with it, and all that lack of serotonin grumpiness and give me chocolate or I'll scream disorder settles down. Carbohydrates are used to make serotonin, and sadly, simple sugars are the quick fix for many women. Imagine PMS exacerbated by a low tryptophan diet. Shudder. To get safe sources of tryptophan during your low serotonin PMS days, enjoy the recipe for skinny chocolate in the Trim Healthy Mama cookbook, or find the many creative versions on Pinterest that Trim Healthy Mamas have come up with. Chocolate is a rich source of tryptophan, but the high sugar that usually accompanies it can undo its merits. Exercise is another way to increase serotonin when you're feeling grumpy and lousy, but as we advise in Chapter 29, Let's Talk Exercise, don't overdo it. Finding a little sunshine and bathing in its golden rays for a few minutes also gives a healthy serotonin lift. We can't forget about sufficient sleep, which gives a natural boost to this happy brain chemical, without the impending blues. Supplementing with whey protein is another excellent and safe way of getting the happies from serotonin when feeling a little depleted. The alpha-lactalbumin in whey is very rich in tryptophan, and tips the ratio of plasma tryptophan to the other neutral amino acids in favor of tryptophan's absorption without a lot of competition. But a caution about whey for those who are nursing and cannot drop weight no matter what you do, possibly due to high levels of prolactin, or for those with hyperprolactinemia for other reasons. In these cases, you may be very sensitive to serotonin and anything that works hand in hand with prolactin production. You may wish to avoid whey if you have this issue and choose to use only collagen or gelatin as a protein supplement. Check out Chapter 24, Heads Up, Turtle Losers, and our special diet suggestions for those with overly elevated prolactin levels. Contradicting protocols. Many followers of low tryptophan or tryptophan cautious plans also advise abundant fructose. That is, lots of orange juice and the embracing of generous amounts of sugar, even table sugar. These are apparently included to soothe the adrenals. Looking at the science, it is clear that spiking blood sugar levels promotes excessive serotonin levels, and this carries a bitter backlash. The excessive release of serotonin can deplete the balanced levels of this happy hormone in the long term, and leads to an increased rate of depression in diabetics. All of this sugar spiking talk now leads us to warn you of another diet trend that embraces large amounts of sugar under the guise of healing the adrenals. Double choc ice cream sundaes are back. While the low-carb diet craze gave the world a lot of much-needed knowledge about the overdoing of carbohydrates, it also did some damage. Many dieters are still confused and left trying to piece the jigsaw puzzle called balance back together. Not only did low-carbism falsely accuse an entire macronutrient of being unnecessary and make it take the blame for everyone's ailments, it desecrated the common sense of balance. This carb-dismissing extreme has contributed to body imbalances in the form of wrecked thyroids and burned-out adrenals. When this realization hit the dieting world, instead of adding back healthy carb choices, there was a frenzy to go in the complete opposite direction. In an effort to heal thyroids and restore adrenals, there is a new trend to eat nightly ice cream before bed, drink generous glasses of juice and milk, eat more fruit than veggies, in fact, vegetables are considered second-class citizens, and even scarf down a candy bar without guilt. Sadly, this is the new healthy thyroid and adrenal nurturing diet followed in some extreme camps. The thyroid, another victim of excess blood sugar. If one of the remedies for thyroid sluggishness is sugar, then Americans should have thyroids that work like purring Ferraris. Instead, according to the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists, 27 million Americans are burdened with thyroid dysfunction. Subclinical hypothyroidism is estimated to affect an additional 24 million Americans. It is sobering to think that more than 50 million Americans are inflicted with some form of thyroid disorder. Refined sugar and blood sugar spiking carbs are not the answer for the thyroid gland, just like they are not the answer for the adrenal gland. Thyroid problems are 90% autoimmune in nature. Sugar battles against your white blood cells and makes them ineffective in battling toxins for 5 hours after a sugar spike. This destroys your natural immune defense. Research shows that thyroid disorders are more prevalent in diabetics and those suffering with obesity and metabolic syndrome. Both extremes of low and high carb diets have booby traps waiting in the wings to strangle the thyroid. Studies reveal that the repeated insulin spikes that lead to insulin resistance destroy the thyroid gland in people with autoimmune thyroid issues. On the other hand, insulin is needed for the conversion of the inactive T4 hormone into the active T3 hormone. While our T4 hormone does have use in the body, T3 is approximately 4 times more potent than T4. We need robust T3 levels, so we're going to have to eat some carbs to get them. But diets high in sugar and the chronic inflammation they promote stop the conversion of T4 to T3. Do you see the conundrum here? We need carbs for a well-working thyroid, but excessive carbs cause the thyroid to break down. There has to be a sensible middle ground. Going too low in glucose fuel promotes reverse T3. There's another key player in all this thyroid madness called reverse T3, RT3. It is synthesized from T4. It binds to thyroid receptors and blocks the action of T3. Boo! This means it lowers the metabolism and promotes fat storage. It is not the hormone someone who is trying to lose weight wants to have in charge. Diets too low in glucose, for too long, commonly known as low-carb diets, have proven to inactivate the wonderful T3 hormone and give rise to overly high levels of RT3. The body recognizes there is not enough energy being consumed to furnish the brain and slows down the metabolism and many other bodily processes to conserve this vital nutrient. Remember, T3 is something you want, and RT3 is something you don't want. The biggest take-home point in thyroid health is to avoid drastic blood sugar fluctuations. This means stay away from high sugar spikers, but don't get stuck in S ruts either. Keep those E meals a regular at your trim healthy table and throw in a few crossovers or S helpers as your weight loss journey permits. Again and again, it comes down to that beautiful 7-letter word, balance. 7 speaks of perfection. But remember, your perfect balance might be different from someone else's. A mama who swings kettlebells and nurses a set of twins will need more glucose nourishment than a sedentary office worker who is postmenopausal. Listen to your body and remember that healthy, gentle carbs are an integral fuel to keep juggling in your trim healthy mama lifestyle. For more info on thyroid health and important thyroid testing, check out Chapter 24, Heads Up, Turtle Losers. Sugar to heal your adrenals? The new approach of using simple sugars like fruit juice, table sugar, honey, and refined carbs to soothe the adrenals makes no sense to us. Yes, there is truth to the underlying principle that carbs are needed for well-functioning adrenals, but the extreme approach that is all over the blogosphere right now is what doesn't make sense. We've really tried to wrap our minds around it, to give the idea a fair chance. But after months of study on it, the facts are still the facts. High blood sugar levels deplete cortisol levels and burn out the adrenals. That is one of the main jobs of the adrenal gland and cortisol, to balance blood sugar. Indicators of adrenal fatigue are usually seen in tandem with glucose intolerance and insulin resistance in lab testing. No matter what any modern backlash fad is teaching, wisdom, science, and common sense still scream the danger of refined sugar and the excessive consumption of carbohydrates. Suggestions like ice cream and glasses of fruit juice for thyroid and adrenal health simply don't hold water in the big picture. Spiking of blood sugar is one of the reasons adrenals are so weak these days. Using high sugar to repair what it already broke? How is that a helpful remedy? Inflicting the adrenals and thyroid again with the same treatment that helped send them down for the count is just plain cruel to them. The sugar rush and flood of hyperactive energy from a high sugar spike is not necessarily desirable sugar energy, but more likely a desperate adrenaline surge in response to the crisis. You are actually experiencing an adrenaline rush. Dr. William Tamberlane of the Yale Center for Clinical Investigation at Yale University reported on research showing that children had much higher levels of adrenaline after they were given sugar. He correlates their hyperactive behavior not to the energy from blood sugar itself, but to these higher adrenaline surges. This clearly reveals that a surge of stress hormones is consequentially leached from the adrenals with every blood sugar spike. This dire situation that the adrenals are faced with under a high sugar load can be made very clear with the following four common steps. Step 1. You guzzle a large glass of orange juice or down a hearty bowl of ice cream. Now you have high blood sugar. Step 2. Insulin surges to clean up the stressful situation of your spiking blood sugar. High blood sugar is destructive at a cellular level, and the body responds to this emergency. Your body, intelligently realizing the toxic situation of high blood sugar, sends high doses of insulin and cleans it up overzealously, bringing it super low, safe from the prior stressful high. Now, you have low blood sugar. Step 3. Low blood sugar is another emergency, and our adrenals, our primary stress glands, respond with urgency. Adrenaline starts to pump, causing the liver to convert stored glucose and release it into the bloodstream in an effort to bring the blood sugar out of the dangerous dumps. Epinephrine, norepinephrine, and cortisol are crucial stress hormones delivered to try to fix the stressful situation. Step 4. Your body, now in a traumatic state of low blood sugar, craves a high sugary meal to provide energy for the brain, and this vicious cycle repeats. Repeating this situation over again with nearly every meal burns out your adrenals. During adrenal fatigue, when adrenal hormone levels are already compromised, it becomes extremely difficult to maintain blood sugar levels. If you relate to adrenal mess Jess, who we met back in Chapter 1, nourish your adrenals back to strength with lots of rest, drink the singing canary, and do not leave e-meals out of your fuel juggle. But don't fall back into the vicious cycle of these four steps. Sensible servings of sweet potatoes, ancient grains, whole fruit, and legumes are healers. These not only contain necessary glucose to soothe your adrenals, but also offer it in a much gentler way to your body. Shoving more sugar fuel than your body can handle to try and nurture your adrenals is like eating dynamite. Soon, something's gonna blow. Maybe the buttons on your pants or your clean bill of health. Finding respectful balance with lectins and phytates. Lectins and phytates are two more newly convicted felons that need some defense. It used to be butter and coffee, but now it is the loser lectins and foul phytates that people are being trained to avoid like the plague. If you are a drive-through Sue, you may not give a rip whether your food contains them or not. But these terrible two have really dealt a heavy burden to the purist who sometimes lies awake at night wondering whether her oatmeal's overnight soak will be enough to destroy their evil powers. Let's examine both of these so-called menaces and see whether their bite is truly as bad as their bark. Loser lectins? Recent diets that tout that all grains are bad for us, something to do with caveman grok, point to lectins as one of the reasons. Lectins are proteins that are designed to withstand digestion and not be broken down by the intestines. One of lectins' purposes is to naturally repel pests from the plants they are within. All plants contain defense mechanisms designed to protect them from animals, bacteria, and fungi. Many have multiple systems in place, and lectins are only one of these defenses that some health gurus are magnifying for now. What's wrong with lectins? Pretty much everything, according to lectin avoidance diets. They are thought to cause leaky gut, autoimmune issues, fibromyalgia, arthritis, stubborn weight issues. The list goes on and on. If you buy into all that, you essentially have to believe that God created food to harm us. Lectins are not man-made. They are in foods that God called good, and they have always been in these foods. They are not a new menace. Another name for lectins is glycoproteins. These proteins eventually find their way into cell walls in your body. Your body actually uses these glycoproteins on the outside of your cells for important messaging and signaling. Glycoproteins are an amazing and necessary bodily mechanism. In the big picture, lectins aren't losers. They are underestimated cool dudes that are necessary for a myriad of life-sustaining functions. For instance, lectins break down the membranes of hurtful invaders like cancer cells and help reduce the risk and growth of many deadly cancers. Lectins attack the membranes of fungi, bacteria, and viruses in the body and have been reported to be effective even against the HIV-1 retrovirus. A 1997 study done on rats, cited in the British Journal of Nutrition, rats again, we know, yawn, determined that the biggest problem with lectins comes when people eat an insufficiently varied diet. In one study, rats put on a varied diet showed significantly less damage from the inclusion of lectins than rats fed a continuous soy protein diet with the inclusion of lectins. Eating a balanced, healthy foods diet prepared the right way is a more sensible answer than eliminating whole food groups in fear of lectins. The problem with lectins is not the healthy balance in which they occur with natural whole food, but the extreme concentration of them that comes from processed and finagled modern foods. This is where the balance of something healthy becomes toxic and disturbing to the flourishing environment of the body. Carbohydrates aren't villains, but the overconsumption of refined ones can be very dangerous. The kiss of sunshine is the sparkle of health. But too much of this good thing leads to sunstroke and poisoning. Likewise, we just need to harness the right balance of lectins by avoiding modern junk and using some traditional food preparations that naturally lower their concentration. Don't hate lectins, just respect their limits. Lectins are found in all food, so avoiding grains for the fear of lectins does not really help you. The lectins in grains and beans can be mostly deactivated by boiling them for 15 minutes, but some lectins in veggies cannot be cooked out. Dairy products, nuts and seeds, and many fruits and veggies carry their own fair share of lectins, the highest levels being among the nightshade family, such as tomatoes, eggplants, potatoes, bell peppers, chili peppers, and goji berries. Kale chips are a trendy health food, and we love them too, but they are probably more tainted with lectins than a well-prepared, soured or sprouted, whole-grain bread would be. Don't give up the kale or the healthfully prepared grains for lectin's sake, though, as you would then have to give up most yummy spices, which also contain lectins. Oh, and you'd have to put chocolate and coffee on your elimination list while you are at it. All plants contain these defense mechanisms, and we can trust our God who created us to eat them to also have equipped our bodies to deal. Healthy ways to avoid excessive lectins. Do opt for sprouted, soaked, or fermented grains and beans, as these methods decrease the lectins in many of these particular foods. Modern hybridized wheat is an exception. Sprouting is not able to cause a significant reduction of lectins in this form of grain. Do choose ancient grains such as einkorn, emmer, spelt, rye, farro, kamut, quinoa, and barley instead of modern hybridized wheat. Do enjoy homemade gelatin-rich stock or supplement your diet with Just Gelatin or Integral Collagen that nurture the mucosa lining of the intestines and prevent negative lectin issues of the gut. There is a correlation between celiac disease and lowered levels of glycine, which is a potent amino acid in bone broth and gelatin supplements. It is interesting that celiac disease is on the rise in our modern world, where the ancient practices of eating glycine-rich cuts of meat on the bone and making homemade stock are forgotten. Do try to fall in love with okra, which has the ability to bind with lectins and make them harmless to the intestinal cells. Okra is a BFF of anyone with leaky gut or severe gastrointestinal issues. Healthy lectin level don'ts. Don't eat regular wheat bread from the grocery store. Modern wheat is hybridized to be way higher in gluten, so is therefore higher in lectins. Don't overdo store-bought Frankenfood low-carb wraps that are enriched with the lectin-rich bran of various grains to raise the fiber high enough to lower net carbs in a normally carbohydrate-rich item. While they are an option on plan, they should not be a part of every meal. Boiling destroys more lectins than baking, and since these products are neither boiled, sprouted, nor fermented, their lectin levels will still be high. Avoid when possible, or at least don't overdo, GMO foods like non-organic corn. GMO foods have been modified for greater pest resistance, which consequentially heightens lectin levels above natural order. In saying this, if you want a little corn in your E-style wicked white chili and you can't afford the organic kind, don't stress, because the stress will harm you just as much as the lectins will. You'll survive. Corn is not a big player in the trim healthy mama life. Foul phytates? Are phytates like those pesky tonsils that no one appreciated in the 1960s and 70s? They just got in the road and got infected, so off with their heads? Or could it be that they have a purpose? This will be our last discussion about imbalanced diets, and then we are so done. Hopefully, we'll never have to speak of all this craziness again. Phytates are mostly located on the outside of the germ in grains, and their purpose is to nourish the plant embryo with phosphorus so it can germinate and flourish. Phytates are considered to be part of the nasties group, but let's bring in balance for the final time. In the human body, phytates do have a purpose. They bind with metals in your body, and they are very skillful in their line of work. Yay for phytates! Metals won't be nearly as harmful to you when phytates are around. But they also get name-called the anti-nutrient because they can bind to nutrients within your meal and prevent their absorption by your body. Boo for phytates, you foul things, you! Actually, this ability to bind with metals enables them to also eliminate some nasties from your body, like the bad kind of cholesterol and triglycerides. Phytates in the human body are a potent and powerful antioxidant. They perform this talent by preventing ions such as iron and zinc from donating electrons that then become peroxides. Eventually, this leads to dysfunctional lipids and excessive cholesterol levels. When viewed through a bigger lens, phytates are not as foul as their first mudsling suggests. In a robust, balanced diet, the mineral pull of phytates is negligible. In third world countries with extreme poverty, where people survive on rice, corn, or beans alone with nothing else to furnish the body, phytates are a big issue. Rather than blaming phytates for a lack of nutrition, it's more obviously the sad exclusion of other necessary nutrient-rich foods that is to blame. We want you to be fully nourished, so encouraging you to prepare phytate-rich foods in more traditional fashions to help remove excess phytates makes some sense. But if you are a drive-through Sue and feel like giving up your trim healthy mama plan because you can't imagine soaking your oats the night before, then don't throw in the towel. You aren't going to die from unsoaked oatmeal or unsoaked lentil soup. Here's a little feature that could make us even love a little bit of phytate from time to time. Serene the purist is almost choking as we type. Phytates also bind with amylase, which is the enzyme responsible for breaking down carbohydrates. When grains and tubers have their phytates attached, their insulin response is reduced by 50%. Whoa! You ain't foul no mo', phytates. But Serene wants to tell you to try to soak and sprout as much as possible to keep the natural balance in check. Do your best. Don't sweat the rest. Let's not make eating become something so difficult that regular folks are robbed of the satisfaction of knowing that they can attain a healthy diet without nitpicking up a storm or draining their last penny to do it. Where is their beacon of hope for a healthier life when all they read on the internet are constant top 10 lists of what to avoid? It sounds impossible and miserable, so it causes many to simply give up. We need to make feasibly healthy food choices and let God take care of the rest. It is sad that natural food has now become a thing to fear. Eating should be a simple joy, not a source of anxiety. We have seen drive-through Sues who have never, ever stepped foot into a health food market have their health revolutionized, watched their inflammation markers go way down, get off all their medications, and find their trim healthy mama glow through regular foods. If you keep away from the basic junk we listed earlier, then you are doing better than those who eat packaged, organic, high-glycemic food from the health food store. Let's leave Looneyville far behind and bask in the land of food freedom, where we always keep it simple and sane. We eat, drink, and are merry without fearing the monsters in God-given foods. Rant is officially over. Phew! Chapter 32. Get Connected. We're so excited that you are taking this journey of food freedom and sanity with us. Encouragement and community will help you stay on track. Many mamas have started up local Trim Healthy Mama groups in homes and in churches. You can meet up with other mamas doing the plan, exchange recipes, share victories and challenges, and be one another's support systems. We soon hope to have study guides for the groups to do together, but for now, women are just sharing their personal experiences with one another and having a blast. You'll also have wonderful support online at our website, www.trimhealthymama.com. There, we have resources and teaching tools such as printable, searchable recipes, lots of cooking and question and answer videos by yours truly, additional menu ideas, along with a personal menu builder, helpful articles, support groups with official THM guides, and much more, all to help you streamline your Trim Healthy Mama journey. But we need to stress again, otherwise we'll feel like salesy gals peddling wares and won't be able to live with ourselves, you don't have to have a website membership for this plan to work. We are also launching a coaching program for those who want more personalized help and accountability, but you don't need a coach either, unless you want one. Many have begged us to get that program going as they long for one-on-one help. This book will equip you with all the knowledge you need to be a trim, healthy mama. It was never our intention to go write a book and leave out important information so we could get thousands of people to give us some of their hard-earned money every month via a website. Repulsive. Mamas kept asking us for more Trim Healthy Mama in their lives. They wanted the extra resources, so we have worked hard on providing this for them. Having said that, all the extra fun help on the subscription side of our website has been priced at less than buying one cup of coffee per week. So enjoy it if you have a little bit of budget wiggle room, or find a great certified Trim Healthy Mama coach in your area or online who can help you with your own unique challenges once that program is up and running. You can also find plenty of free support at our official Trim Healthy Mama Facebook page and in our Facebook groups, where mamas discuss the plan and cheer one another on all day. These groups literally exploded on their own. They are safe, peaceful, encouraging places where mamas can feel accepted and encouraged whether they are drive-through Sues or purists. There are plenty of other groups on the internet where people debate issues all day, but we find that sort of thing tiresome and a big old joy buster. If we as sisters can call the truce with our differences, hey, there's hope for a group of women coming together and actually getting along. Other mamas obviously feel the same way. These groups quickly became the size of cities, Hundreds of thousands of women all talking about the way they do the plan without getting in one another's faces and all hot under the collar if they choose to take a different approach. Unheard of? Miracles do happen. Our amazing volunteer brigade of Trim Healthy Mama admins have been an incredible help on the Facebook groups. After a while, though, it was evident we could no longer keep up with the volume of discussions posted in the main Trim Healthy Mama groups, especially the biggest one. The wall feed began moving too quickly. We essentially outgrew Facebook. Many posts from Trim Healthy Mama newbies got lost as soon as they were posted amid the high volume. We ended up having to move many of the official groups over to the website to control the pace of the Facebook group's growth a little more and try to curtail the population. The Facebook groups are still awesome places to hang out. You'll be inspired, find new recipes, and learn a thing or two from other women doing the plan. But despite our efforts to curtail growth, they are still large. So please don't feel hurt if your question gets missed or your response gets no comments. Posting a picture always helps get some traction in the large groups, or find a local, smaller, unofficial Trim Healthy Mama Facebook group where you can interact on a more personal level. You can sign up for our free Trim Healthy Living e-zine at our website. That will come to your inbox every couple of months and contains articles from us, new recipes, tips, testimonials, and inspirational interviews with other mamas doing the plan. If you want to see and hear more from us two crazy sisters, we'll post up free videos on our YouTube channel every so often. We'll also be making many of the recipes from the Trim Healthy Mama Cookbook and other new recipes we come up with and be releasing those on the subscription side of our website. We'll also take your questions and answer them there, too, on video. In addition, check out our new radio show. Podcasts of that are available to listen to on our website. We want to hear from you. Don't wait until you hit goal weight to share your story and your pictures with us. You're going to have many victories along the way, and we want to celebrate them with you. We want to do a happy dance when you drop your first 10 pounds, when you find yourself no longer a slave to sugar, when you have not lost anything on the scale for a month, but you suddenly fit into the next size down, when you take that hike you never thought possible with the rest of your family, when your wedding ring fits again. Yeah, bring them on. Hearing from you makes all of this worth it for us. Love you, mamas. See you soon. Serene and Pearl. This concludes Trim Healthy Mama Plan by Pearl Barrett and Serene Allison. Narrated by Sarah Malo Christensen. Copyright 2015 by Pearl P. Barrett and Serene C. Allison. This unabridged audiobook is recorded by arrangement with Crown Publishers, an imprint of Crown Publishing Group, a division of Penguin Random House, LLC, and was produced in the year 2017 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.